Chapter 91. The pursuit and escape near to that part of the Thames on which the church at Rotherhithe abuts, where the buildings on the banks are dirtiest and the vessels on the river blackest with the dust of colliers, and the smoke of close-built low-roofed houses, there exists the filthiest, the strangest, the most extraordinary of the many localities that are hidden in London, wholly unknown, even by name, to the great mass of its inhabitants. To reach this place, the visitor has to penetrate through a maze of close, narrow, and muddy streets, thronged by the rougest and poorest of waterside people, and devoted to the traffic they may be supposed to occasion. The cheapest and least delicate provisions are heaped in the shops, the coarsest and commonest articles of wearing apparel dangle at the salesman's door, and stream from the house parapet and windows. Jostling with unemployed laborers of the lowest class, ballast heavers, coal whippers, brazen women, ragged children, and the raff and refuse of the river, he makes his way with difficulty along, assailed by offensive sights and smells from the narrow alleys which branch off on the right and left, and deafened by the clash of ponderous wagons that bear great piles of merchandise from the stacks of warehouses that rise from every corner. Arriving, at length, in streets remoter and less frequented than those through which he has passed, he walks beneath tottering house fronts projecting over the pavement, dismantled walls that seem to totter as he passes, chimneys half crushed, half hesitating to fall, windows guarded by rusty iron bars that time and dirt have almost eaten away, every imaginable sign of desolation and neglect. In such a neighborhood, beyond Dockhead in the borough of Southwark, stands Jacob's Island, surrounded by a muddy ditch, 6 or 8 feet deep and 15 or 20 wide, when the tide is in, once called Mill Pond, but known in the days of this story as Folly Ditch. It is a creek or inlet from the Thames, and can always be filled at high water, by opening the sluices at the lead mills from which it took its old name. At such times, a stranger, looking from one of the wooden bridges thrown across it at Mill Lane, will see the inhabitants of the houses on either side lowering from their back doors and windows, buckets, pails, domestic utensils of all kinds, in which to haul the water up, and when his eye is turned from these operations to the houses themselves, his utmost astonishment will be excited by the scene before him. Crazy wooden galleries common to the backs of half a dozen houses, with holes from which to look upon the slime beneath, windows, broken and patched, with poles thrust out, on which to dry the linen, that is never there, rooms so small, so filthy, so confined, that the air would seem to taint it even for the dirt and squalor which they shelter. Wooden chambers thrusting themselves out above the mud, and threatening to fall into it as some have done. Dirt besmeared walls and decaying foundations, every repulsive lineament of poverty, every loathsome indication of filth, rot, and garbage, all these ornament the banks of Folly Ditch. In Jacob's Island, the warehouses are roofless and empty, the walls are crumbling down, the windows are windows no more, the doors are falling into the streets, the chimneys are blackened, but they yield no smoke. 30 or 40 years ago, before losses and chancery suits came upon it, it was a thriving place, but now it is a desolate island indeed. The houses have no owners, they are broken open, and entered upon by those who have the courage, and there they live, and there they die. They must have powerful motives for a secret residence, or be reduced to a destitute condition indeed, who seek a refuge in Jacob's Island. In an upper room of one of these houses, a detached house of fair size, ruinous in other respects, but strongly defended at door and window, of which house the back commanded the ditch in manner already described, there were assembled 3 men, who, regarding each other every now and then with looks expressive of perplexity and expectation, sat for some time in profound and gloomy silence. One of these was Toby Crackit, another Mr. Chitling, and the third a robber of 50 years, whose nose had been almost beaten in some old scuffle, and whose face bore a frightful scar which might probably be traced to the same occasion. This man was a return transport, and his name was Cax. I wish, apostrophe said Toby turning to Mr. Chitling, that you had picked out some other Krig, when the two old ones got too warm, and had not come here, my fine feller. Apostrophe, why didn't you, blunderhead? Apostrophe said Cax. Well, I thought you'd have been a little more glad to see me than this, apostrophe replied Mr. Chitling, with a melancholy air. Why, look at, young gentleman, apostrophe said Toby, when a man keeps himself so very exclusive as I have done, and by that means, has a snug house over his head with nobody a prying and smelling about it, it's rather a startling thing, to have the honor of a visit from a young gentleman, however respectable and pleasant a person he may be, to play cards with at conveniency, circumstanced as you are. Apostrophe, especially, when the exclusive young man has got a friend stopping with him, that's arrived sooner than was expected from foreign parts, and is too modest to want to be presented to the judges on his return, apostrophe added Mr. Cax. There was a short silence, after which Toby Crackit, seeming to abandon as hopeless any further effort, to maintain his usual devil-may-care swagger, turned to Chitling and said, when was Fagent took then? Apostrophe, just at dinner time 2 o'clock this afternoon. Charlie and I made our lucky up the wash-us chimney, and Bolter got into the empty water butt, head downwards. But his legs were so precious long, that they stuck out at the top, and so they took him too. Apostrophe, and Bet? Apostrophe, poor Bet. She went to see the body, to speak to who it was, apostrophe replied Chitling, his countenance falling more and more, and went off mad, screaming, and raving, and beating her head against the boards. So they put a strait waistcoat on her, and took her to the hospital, and there she is. Apostrophe, what's come of young Bates? Apostrophe, demanded Cax. He hung about, not to come over here afore dark, but he'll be here soon, apostrophe replied Chitling. There's nowhere else to go to now, for the people at the Cripples are all in custody, and the bar of the ken I went up there, and see it with my own eyes is filled with traps. Apostrophe, this is a smash, apostrophe observed Toby, biting his lips. There's more than one will go with this. Apostrophe, the sessions are on, apostrophe said Cax. If they get the inquest over, and Bolter turns King's evidence. As of course he will, from what he said already. They can prove Fagin and accessory before the fact, and get the trial on Friday, and he'll swing in 6 days from this, by G. Apostrophe, you should have heard the people groan, apostrophe said Chitling. The officers fought like devils, or they'd have torn him away. He was down once, but they made a ring round him, and fought their way along. You should have seen how he looked about him, all muddy and bleeding, and clung to them, as if they were his dearest friends. I can see him now, not able to stand upright with the pressing of the mob, and dragging him along amongst them. I can see the people jumping up, one behind another, and snarling with their teeth and making at him. I can see the blood upon his hair and beard, and hear the cries with which the women worked themselves into the center of the crowd at the street corner, and swore they'd tear his heart out. Apostrophe, the horror-stricken witness of this scene, pressed his hands upon his ears, and with his eyes closed got up, and paced violently to and fro, like one distracted. While he was thus engaged, and the two men sat by in silence with their eyes fixed upon the floor, a pattering noise was heard upon the stairs, and Sykes' dog bounded into the room. They ran to the window, downstairs, and into the street. The dog had jumped in at an open window. He made no attempt to follow them, nor was his master to be seen. What's the meaning of this? Apostrophe said Toby when they had returned. He can't be coming here. I hope not. Apostrophe, if he was coming here, he'd have come with the dog, apostrophe said Cax, stooping down to examine the animal, who lay panting on the floor. Here, give us some water for him. He has run himself faint. Apostrophe, he's drunk it all up, every drop, apostrophe said chidling, after watching the dog some time in silence. Covered with mud, lame, half-blind, he must have come a long way. Apostrophe, where can he have come from? Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Toby. He's been to the other kens, of course, and finding them filled with strangers come on here, where he's been many a time and often. But where can he have come from first, and how comes he here alone without the other? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he, none of them called the murderer by his old name, he can't have made away with himself. What do you think? Apostrophe said chidling. Toby shook his head. If he had, apostrophe said Cax, the dog'd want to lead us away to where he did it. No. I think he's got out of the country, and left the dog behind. He must have given him the slip somehow, or he wouldn't be so easy. Apostrophe, this solution, appearing the most probable one, was adopted as the right. The dog, creeping under a chair, coiled himself up to sleep, without more notice from anybody. It being now dark, the shutter was closed, and a candle lighted and placed upon the table. The terrible events of the last 2 days had made a deep impression on all three, increased by the danger and uncertainty of their own position. They drew their chairs closer together, starting at every sound. They spoke little, and that in whispers, and were as silent, and awe-stricken, as if the remains of the murdered woman lay in the next room. They had sat thus, some time, when suddenly was heard a hurried knocking at the door below. Young Bates, apostrophe said Cax, looking angrily round, to check the fear he felt himself. The knocking came again. No, it wasn't he. He never knocked like that. Crackit went to the window, and shaking all over, drew in his head. There was no need to tell him who it was. His pale face was enough. The dog too was on the alert in an instant, and ran whining to the door. We must let him in, apostrophe he said, taking up the candle. Isn't there any help for it? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked the other man in a hoarse voice. None. He must come in. Apostrophe, don't leave us in the dark, apostrophe said Cax, taking down a candle from the chimney piece, and lighting it, with such a trembling hand, that the knocking was twice repeated, before he had finished. Crackit went down to the door, and returned followed by a man with the lower part of his face buried in a handkerchief, and another tied over his head under his hat. He drew them slowly off. Blanched face, sunken eyes, hollow cheeks, beard of 3 days' growth, wasted flesh, short thick breath, it was the very ghost of Sykes. He laid his hand upon a chair which stood in the middle of the room, but shuddering as he was about to drop into it, and seeming to glance over his shoulder, dragged it back close to the wall as close as it would go and ground it against it and sat down. Not a word had been exchanged. He looked from one to another in silence. If an eye were furtively raised and met his, it was instantly averted. When his hollow voice broke silence, they all three started. They seemed never to have heard its tones before. How came that dog here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he asked. Alone. 3 hours ago. Apostrophe, tonight's paper says that Fagins took. Is it true, or a lie? Apostrophe, true. Apostrophe, they were silent again. Damn you all. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sykes, passing his hand across his forehead. Have you nothing to say to me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, there was an uneasy movement among them, but nobody spoke. You that keep this house, apostrophe said Sykes, turning his face to Crackit, do you mean to sell me, or to let me lie here till this hunt is over? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you may stop here, if you think it safe, apostrophe returned the person addressed, after some hesitation. Sykes carried his eyes slowly up the wall behind him, rather trying to turn his head than actually doing it, and said, is it the body, is it buried? Apostrophe, apostrophe, they shook their heads. Why isn't it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he retorted with the same glance behind him. What do they keep such ugly things above the ground for? Who's that knocking? Crackett intimated, by a motion of his hand as he left the room, that there was nothing to fear, and directly came back with Charlie Bates behind him. Sykes sat opposite the door, so that the moment the boy entered the room he encountered his figure. Toby, said the boy falling back, as Sykes turned his eyes towards him, why didn't you tell me this, downstairs? There had been something so tremendous in the shrinking off of the three that the wretched man was willing to propitiate even this lad. Accordingly he nodded, and made as though he would shake hands with him. Let me go into some other room, said the boy, retreating still farther. Charlie, said Sykes, stepping forward. Don't you know me? Don't come near me, answered the boy, still retreating, and Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.